Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. The honeymoon phase of distance training. That's what this episode is going to be about. Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I am Ashland Dave. This is the week of April 2nd, 2014. And if you're a new listener, thanks for coming along. I appreciate you taking a chance on the podcast. Hopefully you'll come back. And for all my returning listeners, thank you. We are rapidly getting up to episode 200, which will probably come in the early summer. So I am doing the Stand Up and Be Counted campaign. I've gotten lots of people have checked in, and I appreciate everybody that did between the last show and this show. I got everybody on my list, and when we do episode 200, we'll check in with all our listeners, and so people can get an idea of from all parts of the world, really, that people listen to the podcast. So I really do appreciate that. I'm Ashland Dave. I'm an ordinary middle-of-the-pack nobody who loves to run as long as possible. I do my best to get my 200 pound body down the road, maybe 208. I'm trying to get under 200, and I'm hoping this next phase of training will I'll be able to accomplish that. So yeah, the honeymoon phase of training. What I'm talking about is I have pulled the trigger, and I have registered for the Croatan 24 hour race, which is going to be November 8th, 2014, Veterans Day. I guess that's Veterans Day weekend, although Veterans Day is really, I think, the 11th, that following Tuesday. And yeah, I'll be down in Croatan National Forest for a 24-hour event. I've never done a solo 24-hour event. I'm not even sure if I can go 24 hours. My goal really is 50 miles in 12 hours. So anything other in addition to that would be extra. And you know, if you've listened to the show, you've been hearing me talk about my interest in doing another 50 miler, and I just haven't really found the right thing. And then when I volunteered down at the Graveyard 100 this past March, and I did it last year, Brandon offered me a complimentary registration for the Croatan 24. And all the people I was talking to down there said, you know, you got to do this race. It's great. And so, yeah, I looked into it. I asked him about it, and he said, sure. He had a couple complimentary entries that he saves for purposes just like that because the race fills up, and the registration opened up on this past Saturday, the 29th, I think was the 29th. It was a Saturday, and it filled up all in one day. At least that's what the website says. And I'll put a link to that at ashlanddave.podbean.com, or you can just look up Croatan 24 if you're interested in that. It's a 24-hour event on a 1.3 XXXXXXX mile loop, and it's going to have some world-class ultra runners down there. Valmir Nunez will be there, Connie Gardner. These are people that do Brandon's races, and that's going to be pretty cool to be out there on the same course as them. Even though I'll be, you know, the hack that's getting passed up numerous times, but it will be neat to see some people, some you know, world class runners run well over 100 miles in the 24-hour period because the course is relatively flat. I think it's some raised plank walkways through the marsh and the swamp, and then crushed gravel. And I don't think there's any single track. I think it's a path through the national forest, at least a segment of it, with you know, one aid station at the start finish, and then you just loop through until you know, till you vomit. So that's what I'll be doing, and my goal is to get 50 miles out of that. The race starts at 8 in the morning, and if I'm fortunate enough where I'm healthy, I will get to 50 miles by 8 o'clock that night. I've done it once before. I did it down when I ran the 50 miler down in the Florida Keys. I came in 11 hours 52 minutes and some change, so I think I can do it. And I remember I did walk a whole lot, and I got and some really dark places during that 50 miler. But I'm hoping this is a lot different because of the, I don't know, I know it'll be a lot different because of the repetitive nature. So yeah, in the honeymoon phase of training. And what that means is I've already done 2 5 milers this week. I got a 15 miler planned for the weekend with a recovery run on Sunday. And so I'll probably get 35 out of this week. I did 32 last week. Once I just made a mental decision that I was going to do this event, you know, everything's happy. And so What I thought might be kind of funny is I usually don't go on the internet and look up definitions, but I went to the Urban Dictionary and looked up honeymoon period, and it says the 3-month maximum period between a person's entry into a new situation, which is my training for my 50 miler, and a person's complete screwing up of said situation or essential elements of it, which would mean the heat or getting losing motivation. This phenomenon is backed by massive amounts of studies in social psychology and even more massive amounts of personal testimony from bitter, angry people. That's the I'm in the honeymoon period of training, and I guess the reason I think that's kind of funny is in a few months it's going to be getting hot, and this isn't going to be so much fun anymore. Right now I'm having a ball. I'm getting out there, knocking out 5 miles in 50 minutes, no problem. This past weekend, I did my long run was 12 on Saturday. I ran that with Ashlyn Tom and his wife. I ran the first 5 with Ashlyn Bryan. I have to start calling him Ashlyn Bryan because he's becoming a regular fixture on my Saturday runs. And then ran 5 with him and then ran 7. Does that add up to 12? Yeah. And with Tom and his wife. And we didn't even stop and walk at all. We ran a pretty good clip. So, yeah, I'm in the honeymoon period. It's everything's great. And I'm having so much fun. And I guess, yeah, right about 3 months from now, which is going to be right in the middle of the summer, it's probably not going to be so much fun anymore. And I'll probably lose some motivation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to plan to take a vacation from running for 1 week right there in the middle of summer. And I'm going to try to look for the hottest when we get to some of the hottest temperatures. And I think that's when I'm going to just take a break. So I'm going to train kind of heavy up to that, and then I'll back it back down. So I was curious to know if anybody can relate to that. You know, it's when you sign up for a race, you're real excited about it, and then after a while, you kind of realize, you know, what the F did I just do? Because this is, you know, I'm gonna have to do this because I've signed up, and in most cases, you paid the money, made travel plans, and then you kind of wonder why you did it. Now, my marriage is not like that. I've been married 18 and a half years. And I don't, you know, the honeymoon was so long ago. I only remember a couple aspects of that. And a lot of it involved cervezas down in Puerto Vallarta, that's for sure. Boy, what a time that was. But I've got a great marriage, and I'm not, it doesn't, yeah, it's got ups and downs just like anything else. So I feel like I can kind of speak from some authority on that. It's probably, you know, one of the best things I've accomplished in my life. So anyway, so some portions of subsequent podcasts of the Running in the Sin of the Universe podcast will have portions of my training progress. I'm not going to bore you with long stories of you know, stupidity, but I'll check in with my training here and there because I think that's what drives the podcast is some of the things I see and hear and do when I'm out there running and stuff I see in town. I like to share that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's that's where I'm at right now. In fact, I ran this morning. I'm working evenings this week, and I'm on call. So I've been doing my runs in the morning, and, you know, piece of cake. Today I did what I call the Walmart run, which I run from my house and run around Walmart, which is a couple miles away, and there's a water fountain that I always stop in and get some water there and then come home. And the reason that's easy is because there's sidewalks, for the most part, all the way to Walmart. And I can, you know, get out of traffic. And, you know, of course, Walmart's always open. This is a clean Walmart. We have a Walmart in Ashland that we kind of joke is Ashland's best-kept secret because it's not really visible. And it's not really a real crowded Walmart for some reason. I've never really seen it that crowded. There's one in another part of the county that's super busy, but this one not so much. All right, so that's the honeymoon phase. So hopefully you can relate to that. I don't know. It was just an idea I had. I thought I'd talk about it a little bit. Now, as promised in the last show, I want to go to Chad Palmer's race report from the Black Canyon 150K. And the reason this is important is because it's a very, very it's a very detailed race report. And I really did enjoy reading it. So I'm going to list it here. I got this back on February 25th from him. And he did the Black Canyon 100K down in the Phoenix area. He's from Scottsdale, Arizona. And incredible 14 hours, 45 minutes. Just really awesome. He said the cutoff was 16 hours. So I'm going to read the race report because it's got some really good details about how he got through the 100K, how people helped him. And I did want to share this because he was very detailed. Now, if you do send me any race reports, if you're interested in submitting anything, I am interested in reading those. I like the race reports on ultras because I like to hear about other 50-miler and higher races out there, preferably really the 50 to 100K distance, because the 100-mile distance is not something that is really on my radar yet. Some exceptions to that is that I do like to hear from Sandy and Dirt Dog. So, and then if you're a regular listener to the show and you do 100-mile, I definitely want to hear about that. So feel free to send those on, and I'll try to include those in the podcast when I can. So let me read Chad's. This will take a few minutes, and I think you'll enjoy it. Ashland Dave, thanks for remembering. I've been meaning to write you and let you know how it went. I finished in around 14:45. The cutoff was 16 hours. I was 19th male overall, and I think there were 42 finishers total out of about 75 to 80 who started. It was a tough day with record heat in Phoenix to around 90 degrees, which is really hot for this time of year. Now, this was February 15th. The race was just over 62 miles, which is 100K. People started dropping out at about the halfway point due to the heat. Also, the first half of the race was a net downhill. The second half of the race was predicted to be much harder due to two big climbs, which it was. I actually think that played to my advantage since I'm a better uphill hiker than I am a downhill runner. I started out slow, as I normally do. I also wanted to make sure I had enough for the end since I had never gone further than a 50K. The race starts out doing one lap around a high school track, which is really cool as it gave the pack a chance to thin out before hitting the streets and then eventually the single track trail. I was next to last coming out of the track. After the first, that had to have been pretty disheartening, Chad. After the first couple of miles of running through the local residential area, the rest of the course was mostly single track bike trail and some Jeep trail. The aid stations were 5 to 9 miles apart and well stocked. I started developing calf cramping halfway through the race whenever I tried to run hard, which I had never had before, so I kept taking S-caps, and that eventually got better. I had some nausea due to the heat, but never felt like throwing up. I had to try to stay cool by soaking my shirt at aid stations and putting ice in a bandana under my hat and another wet bandana around my neck. Eventually, when the sun went down, it actually felt better to run because it was like getting some air conditioning. The course was beautiful. We got to run from sun up to sundown, which I had never done before. That was fine with me since I didn't want to see any rattlesnakes, which are already out and about. I met a lot of interesting people on the course. I ran several miles with a guy and his border collie dog. I think he took the dog 18 miles total, and then he left the dog with his wife. He was planning to run the dog longer, but it was just too hot and not enough creeks to drink from. I also ran with a 15-year-old cross-country runner who finished in just under 16 hours. I also had the privilege of running with a visually impaired runner who also finished in just under 16 hours. He was a very accomplished runner. He finished third in the Across the Years multi-day race and did 204 miles. That's a 72-hour race, I guess, down in that area. At the very last aid station, I was checking in and heard somebody call my name out. I looked around, couldn't see anybody. Finally, I looked down and saw my friend John lying on the ground trying to recover from his nausea. He had been a couple hours ahead of me, but slowed way down at the halfway point. We ended up finishing the race together, which was cool since he was the one who talked me into running this race in the first place. The best part of the race was running with my two teenage kids who were my pacers. My 18-year-old daughter picked me up for a 13-mile leg in the heat of the day with really difficult climbs and when I was in the worst shape. She reminded me to eat every 20 to 30 minutes. She ran ahead at the aid stations to get my water filled. She loved the atmosphere. We ended up passing a lot of runners in this stage as she helped me get rehydrated and refueled. The steeper hiking parts also played a big part in us being able to catch many runners. As we were crossing a stream as the sun was setting, we heard gunshots ring out due to the local shooting ranges, and my daughter said, "This is like the Hunger Games," as we were just trying to survive the heat until the sun went down. I ran the last 12 miles with my son, who was 16. He is a very fast cross-country runner, and he runs a 16:35K. He actually wasn't at the expected pickup spot as he took my FJ off-roading on the local Jeep trails. I'm guessing that's his... You're a four-wheeler. Kids, my last drop bag wasn't there either. Oh, well. I filled up from the aid station, and I got back on the trail, leaving my daughter there. I knew my son would catch me quickly. I probably went a mile or two before he caught up to me. I had to I had to tell a pair of runners that I passed that a teenage boy would probably come racing through the desert at high speed and to not be alarmed. At this point, it was pitch dark outside. Sure enough, he caught up to me quickly and told me about the pair of runners he flew by and that they were expecting him. At the last aid station, I asked him how he liked ultra trail runs. As he was chowing down on gummy worms and Coke, and he said, "They're awesome." About a half mile before the finish, I sent him ahead of me so I could tell my wife and other kids that I would be in soon. As he was flying into the finish, we overtook another poor tired runner who started sprinting to avoid being passed by another runner. My son had to yell out, "Don't sprint, I'm just a pacer." My wife said the poor guy was running for his life when he crossed the finish line. So I crossed the finish line, was very happy to see my wife and family. Great to get my first belt buckle. But more important was knowing that I could run twice as far as I previously had. My last mile was actually an 11:30 mile, which was pretty good considering my fastest mile was the first mile, and I ran that in 10 minutes. I felt very blessed and fortunate just to have finished the race, given the tight cutoff times throughout the day and the large number of DNFs. I did have a couple of blisters. Both big toes have pretty black nails. Hopefully I won't lose them, but I'm back to running after taking a week off. Thanks again for the great show. Best regards, Chad Palmer. Wow, that's a great race report, Chad, and I really do appreciate you sharing that. It brings back some memories of my 100K experience, which was positive at the end, but boy, it was pretty agonizing, and looks like it was pretty cool to have your kids out there, and I really do appreciate you sharing that story. And the Black Canyon 100K sounds like it gives out belt buckles for finishers. For all you other listeners out there, that is generally, belt buckles are generally, at least it's been my experience just from listening to others and reading stuff, that the belt buckles are generally reserved for 100-mile races with many exceptions for 100K. So yeah, one day I'd like to do another 100K and wonder if I could get a belt buckle, because I'm not sure I could ever really do 100 miles within any type of cutoff at any race. Maybe if the graveyard kept going, I could maybe get in 30 hours if my feet would hold together. My problem is my feet fall apart. The skin is just weak and thin, and I don't know what else to say. I've changed socks, I've powdered, I've done lots of different things on in that book that I've got, Complete Foot Care or whatever. I actually had two versions of that at one time. But anyway, well done, Chad. Thanks for sharing that. Congratulations to you. And I guess I'm kind of curious to know if how far your longest training run was, if you had just done, I guess 50K was probably your longest training run, I would think, because there's really not much reason to go longer than that, because you'd just be sore and have to recover. So anyway, I wonder what's up next for you. And again, thanks for checking in. I got you on the list for Stand Up and Be Counted. It's always nice to hear from runners out there who are being successful and doing long stuff. All right, let's. We're going to talk about about Scott Menzies for a minute. Unless your head's been under a rock, you've probably heard of the recent death of Meg Menzies, who was a Boston qualifier and Boston marathoner. She was going to run Boston again this year. Not too long ago, she got hit by a car and was killed here in our community. And you might, if you go on any Google thing and just Google Meg's Miles, and you'll see all the outpouring of support and sharing of emotion for from her death and celebrating her life. And I was, I know her husband, Scott, and I'm close enough to him where I went to the funeral, and it was just a beautiful service. What a tragedy that this life was taken from us, but, I'm sure, God needs her to do better things. And anyway, what has happened is Meg was going to run, Boston this year. She qualified and she was scheduled to run it on April 21st. And, what I talked about this in the last podcast a little bit. Scott is a runner himself, a distance runner, marathoner. He's also a local police officer. And he contacted the Boston Athletic Association and obtained permission to run under his wife's bib in her memory. So he's going to be going to Boston and running that. And he wasn't really marathon ready, so he had to kind of ramp up his training. Hopefully he doesn't get injured if he ended up ramping it up too quick. But what I decided to do was to throw it out to the listeners to just raise some money with a goal of $100 to give him some walking around money in Boston. Anytime you go to a big city, there's everything's at least $20. A cab's $20. Parking's $20. At least it was for me when I was in D.C. recently. Everything is at least is $20 minimum. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if he had just a little bit of extra money to so that didn't become a concern how that adds up. And so anyway, I decided to throw that out to the listeners and utilize the donate button on the at the ashlanddave.podbean.com. That's under the joke where it says donate to my race fund, which is not really what the donate button is for. And Dr. Smitty kicked that off with a large donation, and then they kept coming in, and now it's right at $200. And that's what I'm going to give to Scott. I'm going to give that to him in cash, and I just want him to use that to, or the listeners, the people that donated, and I appreciate that. It'd be Ashlyn Brian, Ashlyn Bob, Ashlyn Tom, both David Williamses that listen to the show, Down Under Dave and Mechanicsville Dave. Dr. Smitty, and I think I know I got one more. I can't remember who it is. I'm sorry, but I didn't really keep a list because, again, it's not – nobody's donating for the recognition. They're donating because they feel it's the right thing to do. And so I'm going to give that money to Scott, and I'm just going to tell him it's from the listeners of the podcast, and that way he can't refuse it, and I hope he doesn't. So I'm going to cut it off at this show. Now, if this is something that you're interested in, you can always donate to the Ashland Police Foundation and earmark it for Scott Menzies, and that address is at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I will include that in the show notes for this episode again. If you can't wait for that, you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and scroll down. You'll see the address in there in a previous show. So I think I'm going to go ahead and do that get that money into him. Because I think it's an important thing to do. A couple other things here. A couple other events I'm probably going to do leading up to my 24-hour effort is the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K, which is in August. That's going to be right in the heat of the summer. And that was a brutal, brutal effort last year, but I loved the route. It was literally 15 and a half miles out. 15 and a half miles back. That's a long way to go on a old rail bed, but the environment was really cool. I get to see Neil Richard up there, who's a listener to the show, and he's a friend of the trail, and it's just about an hour from here, so it's a perfect venue. And at the finish line, they have ice-cold sodas right in a tub of ice right at the finish line. I mean, to me, that's just the best. And they had food. They had Twinkies, which I've never seen at the end of a race. So, you know, that's worth going up there, right? Plus, the pack of pickup is in a caboose. I mean, it's really a cool event. I had some of the worst chafing I've ever had before. I got to a point where, oh, this is going to be gross. I shouldn't even say this, but I actually had to hold my junk because it was hurting so bad. And I was running with two ladies. And I went into detail on that in that race report, which you can go back and find that at ashlanddave.podbean.com if you want to listen to more information about that, which you probably don't. But that was some of the worst chafing I ever had, and I will take care of that for next year. Even if I have to carry gobs of stuff with me to reapply, I will make sure I don't make that same mistake again. And I will likely do the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which is the week before Labor Day traditionally. And I don't think it's in the eighth or ninth year. I can't remember. I've run each one except for last year, and that's because I was on call for work. But I did work a water stop for the whole race. I don't know if that counts for, doing it every year or not. I always kind of thought, you know, if you volunteer to race, you're allowed to wear the shirt. But does that count for you being for doing the race? I don't really think it does. But I guess you could then say, well, I've been involved with that race since its inception. I guess that's one way to put it. I'm hoping I don't have to miss that this year. I have not even checked my on-call schedule up to this point for August. I think I'm on call in July, which should I'm not really sure. I'd have to check that. And then maybe I'll find another race in there again. This is all leading up to big November. One of the few drawbacks, other than being in pain and having to take some time off from work, is after doing the 24-hour race, which again I'm hoping to do at least 50 miles of that, is it's the week before the Richmond Marathon, which is really my hometown marathon, and I know people have done 50 miles one weekend and then a marathon the following weekend, But that's just not that's not my shtick. I mean, it's in fact, for me, in my ability at my ability level, I think that's almost kind of foolish. So we'll see how that plays out. Plus, by the time I make it, if I decide to run the Richmond Marathon after that, it's going to cost me, you know, $80-$90 to sign up, and I'm not really sure if it's really all that worth all that much to just to go out there and do it. So we'll see. I'm taking the week off after the 24-hour race just to recover. We'll see how all that goes. Stand Up and Be Counted. This is the campaign that I've talked about. If you're a listener to the show, a regular listener, and I'd like you to stand up and be counted. This is not a method for me to collect emails to market you for anything. I'm just curious to know who listens to the show. And how long and what you do and where you're from. After that, I log that in my little notebook, and then I delete the email. So I'm not saving the email addresses. I'm just curious to know where people are from. Now I can go on Podbean, which is the host of the, that's where I upload the shows, and they go out through iTunes and whatnot. They can do this geolocating of people's IP addresses that download the show and all this stuff, and I'm just not interested in that. I guess I'm a little bit more interested in just hearing from people directly. So send me a real short email at ashlanddave@gmail.com and just put in the subject line, stand up and be counted. Just put your name, where you're from, and you don't have to put your last name, and what kind of runs you do. And I make a list of everybody. And at episode 200, kind of celebrate the listeners of the show who've supported the show over the years. And I think I've been doing this since 2008. I think it was the first show, March of 2008. Anyway, I did it at episode 100, and that's why I'll do it again. So, let's look at the email bag section of the show. Let's see who checked in this week. I did get the Stand Up and Be Counted people, and the problem with that is I deleted some of those because I bombed the show. I actually recorded the show yesterday, and it totally bombed. And what that means is I was recording for about 40 minutes before I realized that it wasn't recording. So today is kind of a repeat of yesterday's attempt. And as a result, I deleted some of the people that stand up and be counted. Anyway, heard from Chad, heard from Ryan. He sent me this interesting interview with the winner of the JFK 50 Miler. I have not listened to this yet, but it was Zach Miller. He runs on water. He trained on a cruise ship, and so that is something that I'm definitely going to check on. So I appreciate that, Ryan. I'm sorry it took me so long to get back to you. I know that I'm awful. Heard from Brandon. I got the complimentary entry. Thank you, Brandon. Heard from Dr. Smitty, and he says, sounds like you had a good time working at the Graveyard 100. Quite a few people from this area where they are running it, but no one I knew personally. Dr. Smitty's from the Chesapeake, Virginia area. The guy that won, Olivier LeBlanc, is friends with Steve Spears. Steve Spears is a friend of Greg, or Dr. Smitty's, and Steve is going to be running Western States, and Greg is going to crew for him, or pace him, so I can't wait to hear all about that later in the summer. Greg ran Shamrock, he said, the Shamrock Marathon. He ran, that was on a Sunday, he ran 8K the day before with his son, finished the full on Sunday. He said he knew his training was lacking, so he was happy with a 3:38 finish. That's awesome, Greg. Well done. The win was extra brutal this year at Fort Story. If you don't know, Fort Story of the Shamrock is when you start coming back southbound, if I'm not mistaken, and you're running right along the ocean. And so yeah, there's a lot of wind. Greg said he let the 3:35 pace group shield me on the run up the boardwalk. He'll be seeing a podiatrist this week and trying to get the neuroma removed from his foot. It hurts to land heavy or push off forcefully, so running fast is too tough. It'll be nice to get back to some real training. Oh, wow, Greg, I didn't know that. I'm not even sure what that is. I'll have to look that up and see if there's, I'm sure there's pictures on the internet about that. Let's see, Greg says, I hope you're running the railroad run. I haven't heard you mention it on the podcast, so I wasn't sure. I'll be coming up that morning to run, and my daughter has a soccer game at 3 in your area, so let's get some lunch if you're around, since you won't have the race directing duties. 24-hour race sounds exciting. He said he'd like to do a 12-hour, but he can't handle sleep deprivation, so 24 hours is out of the question. I still need to get a 50-miler out of the way. I plan on getting a coach once I get the foot fixed. Greg will be pacing the Dismal Swamp Stomp again this year, which is a large half mile or half marathon down in the Chesapeake area, which is really cool. My wife did that several years ago. He's pacing the 145 group, and that is always a fun time. Let me know about the railroad run. Greg, I'll reply to your email, but I'm going to, I guess, mention a little bit about the railroad run right now because I have not mentioned anything about it. I'm not directing the race this year. I've retired from that. I think I might have mentioned that at some point in one of the shows. And I do have some regrets about that. I've co-race directed it for the last 3 years, head honcho. And then the year before that, it was when I redesigned the course, and I was kind of assistant race director in a way you could kind of say. Tammy Proppett was the race director, but I was there all along the way helping with a lot of the course, and I coordinated the marshals, and what kind of was, you know, we really was in training to take over. And of course, I took over with Tamara, which she's doing it this year with a guy named Paul Birch. Now, I have to stay away from day-to-day stuff because that is really what consumes your time. The emails, the worry, and it's enjoyable because the payoff on race day is an unbelievable feeling when, 500 plus people, and this the Ashland Railroad Run, which is a 10K, certified 10K and a 5K, and then the kids run, is a small town event. It's a medium sized event but 500 is all that this event can handle in the town of Ashland, and it's along the railroad tracks. It's one of the few races I know of, if not the only one around the metro Richmond area, where you can the possibility exists for you to run right next to a moving train on the road. I mean, the tracks go literally right through the middle of town. There's two tracks, and there's roads on either side of it with no shoulder on the track. So, you could reach out and touch the train if you wanted. You'd be stupid to do that, but I mean, that's how close you can get. And that's pretty exciting for kids. That's pretty exciting for adults. So it's a great event for the town. It raises money for the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, which I'm on the board of that. And then that, of course, the Activity Center funds art classes, music classes. There's a preschool in the basement of the, we call it the HAC, the HHAC, Hanover Arts and Activity Center. What else do we do? We do the big July 4th celebration out on the lawn every year. It's an old-fashioned July 4th sack races, egg toss, water balloons. There's a non-motorized people parade. It's classic Ashland, which is a little quirky town we live in. But I had to step back because I was, first of all, the race for the last 3 years went great because of, well, I did a good job. I don't have any qualms saying that. And so did the co-race director, Tamara Bardwell. We had different skill sets that we brought to the table and really complimented each other on the race. But my wife actually asked me to step back, and for good reason. I was just so many details, with the experience I've had running other races, I picked up on things, and we wanted to implement some small things here and there to just kind of make it more detail-oriented. And I've always saw, and when I've done races, when the race director is detail-oriented, I remember how much I appreciate that. So we wanted to bring that to the railroad run, and not that it wasn't there before. It's just whenever somebody takes over, they bring a little bit something different. Not anything better, just something different. And then it enhances the experience, just like each race director brings something. And so that's what we did. And I just had to take a step back. But I am going to be there on race day. And I'll most likely probably even start the races like I have over the last couple of years. It's just I'm not going to have the overall coordination for giving out the awards, making sure... whatever else I did, making sure people are getting the registrations, opening up the porta-johns. One little detail that I learned is that when you get your porta-johns delivered the day before, you want to go through and lock those with zip ties, heavy-duty zip ties, because you never know who's going to come raid them overnight. You get these malfeasant kids that run around and they want to vandalize your porta-johns and pull out the toilet paper and shit and piss all over the place, and nobody likes that the next day. So you just got to make sure you bring some snips with you, and then you take off those zip ties. And that's something that I picked up on, and so now it's on the checklist. And so there's tons and tons of details, things you got to take care of on race day. So I carried a list around, but I won't have that burden this year. I'll be the one helping that. So Greg, I'll be there, and Yeah, I don't really have. I don't have to. I have to stick around and clean up, but that'll all be done probably before lunch. And so we'll see how it works out. I'll definitely look for you. And you know, of course, we got each other's numbers, so make sure you text me and call. I'll have my phone, and we'll definitely get together. And I look forward to that a whole lot because it's been a while since I've seen you. So that'll be a lot of fun. So yeah, I'll be there. I'll definitely be there. It's something I definitely support. Okay, let's see. Check the next. I got the donation from David Williams. I got some pictures from him. Actually, Bob made a donation. And Alex, I have not forgot about you. I know you got the a race report in there that I definitely want to hear. And we'll do that interview. I have not forgotten you. I promise. You saw how long it took me to get the Chad. And actually, yours is from December, man. So I'm feeling really bad about neglecting you. I'm very sorry. That's pretty much the podcast for this week. I've got, of course, my training is going to progress. If you want to comment on the show, positive comments only, please, at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Oh, one email I did forget to mention was Jim Ruddy's. Jim is the only one, he's out of Loudoun, Virginia. He is the only one who realized that there was no Star Spangled Banner at the end of the last show. And so shame on everybody else who cuts off the podcast before that. If you didn't notice that I neglected, I did not do it on purpose. I completely forgot. Shame on me. And Jim, well done on picking that out. I appreciate you going all the way to the end. And that tells me a lot that about your commitment to the podcast that you listen all the way through to the Star Spangled Banner. I'll make sure I put it in this week. And I don't know why I forgot. That's not like me. I usually kind of carbon copy the end of each show. And that episode, that version of the Star Spangled Banner is done by the United States Marine Band, which I give credit in the show notes. And some of the other music I do during the email bag section of the show is from Derek Miller's Pen Machine. I encourage you to click on that link at ashlanddave.podbean.com. He produced different types of electronic music through GarageBand software, all electronic, and he did that right up until he died. And so his blog is linked through mine, and his last entry begins, "I am dead." So it's kind of an interesting thing. I really liked his electronic music, and that's why I repeat that each episode for the email bag section of the show. All right, well, this is Ashland Dave. I am running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week. You still listening? Woo!